everybody. Welcome back to No Other Pod Decision Day Edition. I'm Jimmy Mack, along with the man, the myth, the legend, the man who painted the wall, Dan Kuser. How's it going, Dan?
Oh my gosh, that was a great introduction.
Gotta help you feel a little bit better after Sporting's form as of late.
That kind of worked, but no, you're right. The form's not good, man, and we'll definitely get into that. But how are you doing on this Sunday evening?
I'm doing okay. We are recording, as Dan said, Sunday evening, within the hour of the Sporting KC game ending. Not the result that we had been hoping for. If Sporting KC was able to go into Salt Lake and earn a victory, then at minimum they were guaranteed a home playoff game. Unfortunately, that's not how things went. Sporting KC fell 2-1 at the hands of Real Salt Lake. Dan, just what are your thoughts? Give me your impressions or what you were thinking as you were watching that game.
My initial thoughts would be that we wouldn't be doing this podcast till a little later because it was a home game, and I realized, oh, wait, you're not going to be at the game. So we're able to do this a little earlier, and it's nice. But, you know, going into it, there was no sense of urgency from us from the very beginning. I mean, you saw Benny on the bench. You saw Gerso on the bench. Starting in their place was Jimmy Madronda in the midfield Daniel Shallowy, Latif Blessing, and
Diego Rubio.
Why am I blanking right now? Yeah, Diego Rubio up top. And, you know, it was nice to see Seth Sinovic back in the lineup. And anytime Seth starts, I'm excited because I feel like it strengthens that left side. And anytime Daniel Shallowy starts, I'm excited because that's that youth that's getting up there and doing big things. But this game just... at least the first half. I mean, we really got to break this down by halves because it really is a tale of two games. And the first half was just straight up garbage.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what happened or why Sporting KC came out so flat. I mean, as you mentioned, Benny was on the bench. Gerso was on the bench. You got to think that Peter's probably thinking, okay, well, we got to... a midweek game more than likely coming up. Technically, Sporting was still in the running for the number two seed in the West, but that was pretty much a long shot. So he's probably thinking, okay, we'll put Benny on the bench, we'll put Gerso on the bench. But that, man, that did not work out because pretty much from the get-go, Sporting KC was down 1-0. Luis Silva scored a goal in the third minute, and the first half only got worse from there, didn't it?
It did. I mean, that goal came so soon, and I was sitting there with my wife, had my drink, and I just threw my arms up. I was just like, here we go. Here we go. We're nothing like being down right in the first 5 minutes here and having to fight back to get a home playoff game that us Kansas City supporters have not had since we won the Cup in 2013. I mean, we haven't had it in 4 years.
Yeah, that's when you put it in perspective like that. I mean, Sporting KC has been able to keep their playoff streak alive. It's what, I think 7 years now, maybe eight.
Yeah, seven.
But when you think about that, there has not been a playoff game in Kansas City since that MLS Cup final. That really puts things in perspective, and then especially the last 2 years, losing to the eventual MLS Cup champions in Portland Timbers in 2015 and Seattle Sounders in 2016 in the knockout cup round. As we've said time and time again on this podcast, Peter Vermees made it a point that we need to get a first round bye. They didn't get that. And now, I don't know why I went on that little tangent, but get back to this game.
No, this is how it's going to be, though. Like, we lost to Portland and they won the whole thing. And then we lost to Seattle and they won the whole thing. We are in trouble against Houston this week, and they will probably go win the whole thing. You know what I mean? It's so scary.
Yeah, and so when we're talking about this first goal by Luis Silva, you know, it was in the third minute. It was at like the 2:36 mark. I'm watching the highlight of it right now.
Barf.
There was just absolute confusion from the Sporting back line. I mean,
look at the back line, dude. Look at Zusi.
Yeah, they're in four different places. They're not in a line. I mean, I'm pausing it right now, right as the cross is about to come in. You got Ike's down below the I mean, I don't even know what this back. This isn't even the back line. It's a back line made up of Seth, Roger, Ike, and Ilya, which explains why none of them are in a line.
They look dumbfounded.
They're in four different points. They're literally making a diamond. The ball comes in. It's whiffed by RSL, and then it slides right past Ike, and then Luis Silva just taps it in past Dykstra. I mean, it's just total confusion, total dysfunction by the defense. And it didn't get any better. Sporting KC didn't get a shot on goal until it was like the 42nd minute, and I made note of it when Nate Bucati mentioned it on the broadcast, because I'm watching that, and I'm like, oh my God, he's right. We haven't had a shot on goal. I think technically we might have had like one actual shot before then, but I'm not, and I don't even know if they count it. I think it was when Jimmy tried to bike and it just like sailed above a goal. I think that might have been really our only shot before then.
I had to do a double take on the bike, because at first glance I was like, is Ike trying another bike right now? Like, like that's what I thought it was. I was like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah, no, Ike was back in the defense. And then, you know, like we said, so Sporting KC goes down 1-0, not ideal.
Great, my dog's back.
Games across MLS seemed like everybody seemed to score all at once right after kickoff started. All of a sudden there was like seven goals that were scored, and none of them were good for Sporting KC. But the goals continued, and then Brooks Lennon found the net in the 41st minute to put Sporting KC down 2-0. And why that was so significant is because it was already bad enough Sporting KC going down 1-0, because they needed to then find the net twice without letting up another goal. But once Lennon put it away in the 41st minute, and then we were looking at a situation where Sporting KC has to get three unanswered goals to earn a home playoff spot with Houston already winning, it wasn't looking good.
No, it's not looking good. And I got to tell you something that my buddy Eric just sent me. And he said, it was a screenshot of this conversation, and he said, I mean, he's got a point. And it says, I mean, it could be worse. We could have just spent almost $2 million on Dom Dwyer and sitting outside of the playoffs losing to the Union 6-1.
That is true. That is true.
Oh, it's fantastic.
and okay, so let's touch on that for a second, I guess. You know, we've been hearing from some fans, and they're absolutely right in that this Sporting offense is not where it needs to be for a regular season or for the playoffs. Rubio and Shawi and Gerso and Latif were able to pull it together and put together a really good run in the U.S. Open Cup and were able to win that tournament and bring home another championship to Kansas City. But since then, Sporting's gotten 2 points in their last five games. The offense has just not been there. Some people brought up, should we have gone in for Namath stronger? I have thoughts on that. I'm sure you do. But what do you think? I mean, there's not a whole lot that can be done now. But I mean, do you know what's missing from this offense? It wasn't much better with Dom here, was it?
Not this year. I mean, but history has shown that when Dom gets hot, he gets hot. And I think, selling him at that price tag is something you can't say no to. You had to do it. And that puts a lot of pressure on Diego Rubio. It's like, Diego, you're the boy now. You got to do this. You know, you were a boy. Now you're a man. score us some damn goals. But that's a lot of pressure on him. I mean, he got injured last year. And yeah, he's scored some goals this year, sure. But it's not what we needed. And this attack has just really dwindled. And I think last week we talked about this lull that we always have in the last month of the season. And you and I both, unanimously thought that, no, this isn't really a lull. And I'm going back on it. I'm saying bullcrap. It is a lull. And we're in trouble right now going into the playoffs. I mean, in what, 3 or 4 days?
Yeah, they seem to peak during the U.S. Open Cup. And I know for a lot of these players, that was their first like championship they've legitimately ever been in their careers.
Sure.
And so you know, there was the high of that, but then there was the talk from Peter and from the rest of the players of, okay, well, you know, this isn't, we're not done. You know, this is a championship, and it's our goal to bring championships to Kansas City, but, you know, MLS Cup is the big one, and we gotta work toward that. And that was the right mentality, and I just don't know where that mentality went. I don't know if Zusi and Beisler and Benny Failhaber go into the national team in the middle of it just threw a wrench in the whole thing and threw the chemistry off, or what.
It did.
But this team has not been able to find their form in the last month and a half. And it could not be at worse timing.
You don't want to say that the season's not a failure. Because look at that. You're in the playoffs for the seventh straight year. You won the U.S. Open Cup. But that's not enough. We can't hang your hat on the U.S. Open Cup on a competition where a lot of teams don't take it seriously and put their best guys in there. We played a five-star lineup in every one of those Open Cup games. And a lot of the teams we played did not. So you cannot hang your hat on that trophy. I mean, you have to go for more. That's not a success because we won the U.S. Open Cup. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, especially after, you know, like you mentioned the lull, and there has been a lull in years past, especially around August. You know, this one, it happened a little later. It's certainly a lull. I think the reasoning for it maybe is a little different, although I'm not even sure anymore. But yeah, now Sporting KC is going into a playoff match in Houston against a rival that's played very well at home.
Yuck.
Backing into the playoffs with 2 points out of five games. Like you said, season's not over, but it's not looking good.
Scary, dude. It's so scary.
It is. Now, when you get to the second half of this RSL game, Sporting came out down 2-0, so they knew they had a big hole they needed to dig themselves out of. But for a split second there, I thought, okay, I don't know what Peter said at half, but this team looks like maybe they got their head right. They started getting opportunities. They started getting shots. They just couldn't put it away, could they?
No, not at all. I mean, it's for the first 15 minutes, nothing was happening, but the ball was moving better. I mean, it was moving around the field, and, you know, they got one back. And, yeah, I was pumped because I was that's a pretty sick header from Ike. But it wasn't enough. You had to win that game, and a draw wouldn't have done anything. So, like, when you're down 2-1, it didn't matter. You knew you needed two more goals in, like, 3 minutes, and it was just you accepted it. You're like, okay, we're going to Houston.
Yeah. As you mentioned, Ike got the header in the 89th minute. Before then, there were chance after chance after chance. Rubio had a number of chances. Latif may have had the worst miss I've ever seen of a professional player in my life. And this is two games in a row now where he's missed a sitter 2 feet in front of the goal, which is not going to go over well with Peter. I'm still confused exactly how what he did today happened. He had a cross come into him. I don't remember who it was. I think it might have been Zusi. It was coming from the left side, so maybe it was Seth. And RSL's keeper, Raimondo, was far to the side of the goal where he should be because he's keeping an eye on the person with the ball out wide. And Latif was unmarked, literally right in the middle of the goal, like 3 feet in front of it, has the ball come straight to his head, couldn't have asked for a better cross, and it's like Latif all of a sudden thought he was on defense and just he like cleared it out of the box. And I don't know if he just missed it or what. I mean, I assume that's what had to happen, but I've never seen a professional soccer player 3 feet in front of the goal with a wide open net literally head the ball the opposite direction of where it needs to go.
No, that's absolutely what it looked like. It's like, oh, wait, I'm on offense. Why did I just do that?
Like, I actually thought that a defender somehow like jumped in and like got ahead to it, even, and they must have been invisible because I didn't see where they came from, but I saw the ball fly out of the box and I'm like, what the hell just happened? And then I hear like Nate Mukady on the broadcast like, Latif just made a mess of that header, and I'm like, no, Nate, you're wrong. Like, Latif didn't get ahead to that because that was a textbook clearance.
Sure did.
And Latif was wide open in front of goal, and if that hit Latif's head, then it would have been a goal. But nope, then they showed a replay, and sure enough, Latif just hit it straight out of the box.
Hey, let's take the bright side. At least he got a head to it, all right? The dude's like 5 foot nothing. He got a header, all right?
That's true. but, you know, he in particular, doesn't seem like he's been playing very well as of late, and we need him to, because when he's in form, he's pesky and he's fiery and he frustrates defenders and doesn't seem like he can run out of energy. But he just seems like he's been really hesitant as of late. In the last game at Children's Mercy Park, he had a couple opportunities to take a shot and took an extra touch. Then he made a mess of that stoppage time situation where he could have put Sporting ahead at Children's Mercy Park last week. Then this one with the header, he had an opportunity to make a couple passes in this game where he just looked like he hesitated a second. He just doesn't seem confident. He doesn't look like he trusts his decisions or his capabilities, and I'm not sure that Peter can trust him against Houston, to be honest.
I don't know who he needs to trust in for Houston. I gotta say, I was especially happy with our center backs today. I mean, Matt Beisler was looking quick and technical, but when we go down into Houston, if you were to ask me who's gonna score goals, I don't know. Like, I don't know who's going to score them. I think it might be time for Benny to step up and do his thing. It might be time for Roger to put one in the back of the net. I just don't know, because our strikers are not getting it done. So it's got to come from somewhere else.
Yeah, Gerso is our leading goal scorer right now. He's got 8 goals on the year. He also won Offensive Player of the Year of the team awards. Which probably tells you everything you need to know about the offense on this team right now. If person who has 8 goals on the year is your best offensive player, and then, you know, Diego Rubio is in second with 6. Benny Failhaber is tied for third with 5, and the other person tied for third with Benny Failhaber is no longer on this team because it's Dom Dwyer. So we don't have a lot of goals right now, and you can tell that when you look at Sporting KC's goals scored compared to the rest of the league. I mean, out of San Jose aside, because they're an anomaly, I'm not really sure how'd that happen. Their goal differential's -21.
So bad
in the playoffs. But okay, so. Okay, think of it this way. Their goal differential is -21. Sporting KC has only scored 1 more goal than San Jose on the season.
But they have allowed a lot less.
They've allowed a lot less. They've only allowed 29, so Sporting KC's goal differential is +11. But the other teams in the Western Conference, their goals scored. Houston Dynamo, 57 goals on the year. Vancouver, 50. Seattle, 52. Portland, 60. And then when you go and you look in the Eastern Conference, you got Red Bulls, 53. Columbus, 53. Atlanta United, 70. Chicago, Jesus, 61. What? New York City, 56. Toronto, 74. And Sporting sitting there at 40. So, you know.
Okay.
One of these.
It's not good. No, it's not good at all.
Yeah, two of these things are not like the other if you throw Sporting KC and San Jose in there. And.
This is bad.
On top of that, I saw this in a tweet earlier today. Let me credit at SKC Wiz for this one. He did a little bit of math and calculating, and essentially what this is the percentage of goals scored per shots on goal. So out of however many shots on goal you get, that's how this is the percentage of time you actually score. Sporting KC is second to last in the league at 23.5%. So basically, only less than one quarter of our shots on goal actually get converted into goals. The only team that was worse than Sporting KC was DC United.
Nice. Great stat.
So yeah. So all that is to say, Sporting KC, as phenomenal and as historic as this defense has been, and it absolutely has been, to only allow 29 goals through 34 games, the offense is just not there. And they get shots. I mean, they outshot RSL technically 19-11 today.
Sure, but it was Nick Raimondo, dude. You can't. Yeah. Nick Raimondo's golden, all right? He's a golden goose. He's great. But he's a, you weren't going to get it past him. The dude's been in the national team picture, and, You know, I was talking to some guys who run this New York City podcast, the Cooligans. I think I've mentioned them to you. And when they were in Chicago for the All-Star game, you know, they asked me, like, what do you think about that Dwyer trade? And I was like, I think I'm okay with it. Like, sure, I cried for like 10 minutes when it happened, just a little bit. But I was like, hey, we're going to get goals. They're like, do you think that Shallowy is going to be fine? And I said, for one, it's Shallowy. All right, don't say Shallowy, you goof. And I said, yeah, I think he will be fine. And I had such confidence in the young guy and with Gerso and with Rubio, and it just hasn't happened. And I don't know if things would have been different with Dwyer here. You know, like, we've got money sitting around, and it feels like we're going to make a big move in the offseason. And if we don't, I might be very disappointed. I don't know what's going to happen because we're not getting the goals that we lost from Dom Dwyer. And I know what you're going to say. We didn't have the goals to begin with when we had Dom Dwyer. But he might have caught form, and we might have, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I still think, as you mentioned, that money is too good to pass up. But this certainly doesn't seem like this was the plan from Peter Vermees, was to not sign anyone. It seems like they had a couple of guys, and based on things he said this year, there were a couple of guys that they were trying to bring in that for one reason or another, it just didn't work out for the season. So obviously when he signed the dotted line on the Dwyer trade, he had to know this was a possibility, and he was okay with, okay, we got Rubio, Latif, Shallowy, and Gerso. Those are our four attackers. But it just, as you mentioned, it hasn't really worked out how it's needed to be, where we seem to be missing that just true striker who can go in there and take control. Man. I mean, like someone like, I mean, you think of someone like Portland has in Fernando ID, like just a big target who can be a physical presence in the box and go up against center backs like Kendall Waston or some of the other big Roman Torres, some of the other big center backs in the league, and who can be physical right there with them and win headers and find the goal. I mean, Sporting, even with Dom Dwyer, he was physical, but Sporting didn't have that. And I think it,
no, you're right.
It might be time for Peter to go out and try to find someone like that.
We don't have a Fernando Adi. I mean, that dude is a man's man. I mean, that guy is a beast who's not afraid to get in there. And he's not healthy right now, right? Is he injured?
Yeah, he's been hurt as of late.
Okay, because he embarrasses fools. Like, some of his highlights on the year, people would come and he would just stop and make them just slide in front of him and then stop again. And a second guy would slide and then he would just slot it home, no problem. And I just get to thinking, I'm like, why don't we have a guy like this who can just control the ball? Like, you're not going to take it from me. I'm going to put it in the back of the net. And Dom wasn't that guy either. But I find myself, you know, being awake at night wondering if he misses us, you know? I'm like, do you miss us, Dom? Because, you know, you scored a lot with us and you had those a lot of goals that one year. And I think you could have some more, you know?
Yeah, Fernando Adi. I mean,
how are you saying his last name right now?
Adi? I don't know. I'm making it up. Adi.
I'm making it up.
Yeah.
I thought it was Adi. I don't know, but it sounds like you made it more festive, like you said Adi. And that's fine.
Yeah.
That's,
I'm going to go with it.
I'm not going to say Shallowy, though, like a lot of these clowns do.
Fernando, Adi, or
stop.
Adi, whichever
stop.
One knows.
You're like a Lady Gaga song over here.
yeah, so he's 6'4", and I'm not saying that there's one of him out there everywhere. He's not a dime a dozen. He's a special player. But just that sort of he's 6'4", 190.
That's a center back height, man.
Right. That sort of physical presence in MLS, I mean, it's so valuable.
It's awesome.
In a forward. And hopefully, you know, Peter does really well finding gems that other teams can't find. He's got scouting networks set up all over the place. I wouldn't put it past him to bring in a tall striker, a physical striker that maybe he's not a household name and plays in a league that maybe you don't think of as a top league in the world, but can come in and adapt to the physicality of MLS.
Oh,
so,
sure.
You know, hopefully
he's going to bring in a guy you've never heard of.
Yeah. Yeah. Sporting doesn't go out. They don't sign the David Villas. They don't sign the Kakas. Well, part of it is it comes down to how much money the ownership group is willing to spend.
True.
Part of it is I think Peter really does pride himself on sort of what he sort of described as doing things the right way. You know, I know he said in media day to start the year, when I asked him what he thought about some of the younger DP signings that were coming into the league, like Miguel Almirón, he was saying, you know, this is really good because this is what the DP roster spot is supposed to be. You're not, it shouldn't be you bring in a guy on a retirement tour for 2 years. It should be you find a young up-and-coming player who's got a lot of talent who needs to develop his game before going on to some of the best clubs in the world. So I think that's what Peter's goal is. I don't think we're going to ever sign, you know, a Wayne Rooney if he were to ever come to MLS, or a Zlatan Ibrahimovic if he were to ever come to MLS, because it's hard to draw him to a market like Kansas City compared to New York or LA, and I think it just philosophically doesn't fit with how Peter does things, unfortunately.
No, you're right. I mean, we've always been a good club without, you know, without the Andrea Pirlo or the David Villa or the David Beckham of Galaxy. You know, it's a we're gonna be fine. But I wish we would have made a move in that transfer window. I wish we would have had something. And I'm so scared right now. Like, say you get past Houston on Wednesday or Thursday. That's your biggest challenge, is the one in front of you right now. But it doesn't get any easier from there. I mean, oh my God, who are you up against after that? Either Portland or Seattle, right?
Right.
Depending on the results from the other game.
Yeah.
And
yeah, so it's
that's
not
the end of the world.
It'll be a two-legged match, because that's once you get out of the knockout round, you get a home and home. So that's an advantage. Sporting KC.
Hey, what does that mean, by the way? Tell me what's a home and home. What is that?
So that's when you get there's two games, one game at each team's stadium, home stadium.
That's
so,
what they call it. They don't call it a home and away series.
No. Well,
I feel dumb.
I guess I may be thinking of like football terminology too, because that's what they call it if like a team's get like college football, they schedule, you know, 1 year we're going to play at one stadium and the next year we're going to play at the other stadium. They call it a home and home. I may be crossing over my sports terminology.
No, I think you're right. I've heard that. I've heard some soccer guys say it like that, and I'm like, why would you call it that? I don't get it.
Yeah.
But okay.
So the good news is they're looking at least getting a single match at Children's Mercy Park if they're able to win against the Houston Dynamo. Now, that game would be first, because the second leg of the match would go to the higher seed. Sure. So that would be either Portland or Seattle. And we all know how hard it is to play in both Portland and Seattle. So Sporting KC has an uphill battle now. If they're able to get out of Houston, they'll have to go and face either Seattle or Portland. But speaking of which, let's give you a quick roundup of sort of what happened in the rest of MLS on decision day, and that way you can get an idea of what the playoff picture looks like. All but two matches today had playoff implications in some way. If you are stuck watching Montreal, New England, or Philly, Orlando, I apologize. Those games didn't really have any sort of impact. Nothing changed in the Eastern Conference, but San Jose did at the death earn a sixth and final playoff spot in the Western Conference, as Urania was able to find the net in like the 94th minute out of 95 minutes and put the Earthquakes 3-2 above the Minnesota United FC to send San Jose into the playoffs. And I just have to say, and I'm betting, Dan, you're probably thinking the same thing, I am so glad that that happened, because that kept FC Dallas out of the playoffs.
Yeah, that's awesome, because if FC Dallas got in, everyone would have talked about the whole debacle down in Orlando, where the whole substitution rule and everything that we've talked about a couple times. But that's where everyone's focus would have been, and I'm glad we don't have to hear about that.
Yeah, because they would have beaten RSL, with RSL's victory over Sporting KC, they would have Dallas would have been 1 point above RSL, which would have been that 1 point that they should have forfeited. And then had they been forced to forfeit it, RSL would have won the tiebreaker, which is which team has the most wins. So I'm just glad that we don't have to deal with that. But the final standings in the Western Conference after it was all said and done today, Portland beat Vancouver to jump up to the number one seed in the Western Conference. Seattle beat Colorado after multiple red cards for both sides, and they were able to jump to number two. Since Vancouver lost, they fell all the way to third, which really is unfortunate because they go from having a bye and home field advantage throughout the Western Conference playoffs to now having to play a knockout game. Houston beat Chicago to jump up to fourth. Sporting KC, obviously we know, fell to RSL. They're down to fifth, and San Jose beat Minnesota for sixth. So in the West, Vancouver will host San Jose. Houston will host Sporting KC. Those games will either be on Wednesday or Thursday. We still haven't found out, I don't think. I'll check again, but we were waiting to try to find out exactly when those games would be. We're betting that...
No, man. Tell the listeners your theory, though, for the
game. Yeah, I do have a theory. We'll find out if I'm right after the fact once this is live. But if I were a betting man, I would say that Sporting in Houston will be on Thursday because the Houston Astros play in a World Series game on Wednesday. And if MLS puts the Dynamo match up again...
Dick.
Splinter an Astros fan, apparently.
Yes, he loves the Astros.
If MLS puts the Houston Dynamo match up against the Astros World Series game, they're a bunch of idiots. So my guess is it's going to be a Thursday game for Sporting KC.
Wouldn't they also play on Thursday too, though?
No, because the World Series starts on Tuesday. So it would go Tuesday, okay. Wednesday, and then Thursday would be a day off for travel, and then it would start up again on Friday. So
good call.
But between the Western Conference knockout games, Vancouver against San Jose and Houston against Sporting KC, the Houston Sporting KC game has to be the more intriguing one, right?
No, it is. Absolutely. Even for non-Sporting Kansas City fans, I mean, people are going to watch it and see what's going to come of it. And if I'm being honest, I don't know if I'm going to like what comes of this game. It's going to get physical again, just like the last two games. I mean, this will mean that your last three of your four games were against the same team, and it's terrifying. It just shows that you've had enough time to scrimmage each other and know what each other's strengths and weaknesses are, and we've seen that. We watched the two games. I mean, they take the Open Cup victory away from when we beat them earlier in the summer. That was great. That was fine. But that was a different team than what we're seeing now.
They didn't field a full lineup.
You're right. The team we're seeing now is the team that lost to them in Houston and that drew to them at home. And I think we're going to see a very physical game again, just like we saw last time. I mean, a lot of fouls were called. No, a lot of fouls were not called. I mean, it was a very physical match where fouls should have been called all over the place.
Yeah, they let a lot of things go. But yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. Whether you're a fan of Sporting KC or Houston or not, I think that'll be the more intriguing match. Vancouver, I think they're just going to be too much for San Jose. You never know, but I don't think that'll go too well for Quakes fans. But congrats to them for doing what they need to do to get in. In the Eastern Conference, Toronto was able to go on the road in Atlanta and earn a 2-2 draw. Significant for a couple of reasons. One, that means that Toronto now broke the Galaxy's record for most points in a season. They earned 69 total points on the year. So they now own the sole record for most points in a single season. Giovinco scored one of the most ridiculous free kick goals I've ever seen again. It seems like he does this all the time, but it was late in like the 84th minute to tie the game, and it was absolutely gorgeous, perfect top left corner. Splinter's also a Giovinco
fan. Stop laughing. My dog, dude. It's seriously, my wife like plays with him and everything, and he gets mad.
Yeah, shout out to Marissa, who said last podcast recording she took him into the bathroom and was just sitting in there trying to keep him quiet. So
Yeah, she was a champ. I thought she was pooping the whole time, but she was really just in there with the dog.
No, she's awesome. So Toronto, I'm sure she'll love hearing that on the pod.
No, she'll be really mad.
Toronto earns the draw in Atlanta, which keeps them in the number one seed. NYCFC, despite playing at Citi Field, because apparently
so
4 days wasn't enough time to turn Yankee Stadium into a soccer field. So they'll be at the number two seed with a bye week. So Chicago Fire, they're the number three seed. Atlanta United falls to the number four seed, or maybe they were already in the number four seed. I don't remember what it was before this week, but they're the number four seed. Columbus Crew, the fifth seed, and New York Red Bulls, the sixth seed. So Chicago will host the New York Red Bulls in their 3-6 matchup, and Atlanta will host Columbus Crew in their 4-5 matchup. Both of those games should be pretty entertaining, I think. How about you?
I think so, too. I want to see, if Sporting doesn't get out of this play-in round, which I got to tell you, I'm very pessimistic about it. I know a lot of people try to keep their heads up, but I find it easier to not be disappointed when you just walk around in negativity all day. it's my aspect on life. It's going well for me. I'm very happy. But I'd like to see Columbus win the MLS Cup and then move to Austin, Texas. Ah, boom!
Just blow it. Well, they'd have a year between, so really you want them to win the MLS Cup next year. But I will say, I would like to see Columbus beat Atlanta, because I'm tired of Atlanta fans thinking that they've invented MLS 3.0 or a new way of doing soccer. So
Do you think they're handing out free tickets to break this attendance record? Do you think they're like, hey, come to the game, here's a free ticket, enter this raffle? You know, they got to be giving out free tickets, right?
Oh, man, that's a great conspiracy theory, and I think we should go on the record and report that they absolutely are doing that. Because
yes!
I mean, they broke it. They had, what, they said like 76 or 78,000 people there this week.
And what kind of cocky people are like, we're going to break our own attendance record? What? You already said it once. Why do you do that?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Atlanta loves themselves some Atlanta. And don't get me wrong, they're a very good team. They've scored a lot of goals this year. They're a fun team to watch.
Many goals.
I think that, you know, they didn't exactly build this squad, and like, they spent a lot of money this offseason. And to be honest, I'm sure they have some good scouts, but I don't know if anyone thought Almiron was going to be what he was this year. I think they got a little lucky with him. Alec
is
Town
he coming
played
back?
Out of, I mean, I'm sure Atlanta fans want him to come back desperately. I've heard rumblings of teams in Europe being interested. I don't.
I mean, no, is he? He's injured right now, right?
Oh, I thought you meant next year. I'm already thinking.
No,
next season.
I'm gonna. Yeah, Miguel Almiron.
Miguel Almiron. Yeah,
we're so white.
Yeah, Kansas City.
We're from Kansas.
Yeah, that's right. Technically, I'm from LA, but still one of the more pale people you'll ever meet in your life.
Surfer boy.
I've been surfing literally once in my life.
Right, dude. Sharks. Why would you go any more than that?
It wasn't even in LA when I did it. but enough about me. Yeah, Almiron's hurt. He had a hamstring injury, and I think it probably has to do with they're playing on turf in Mercedes-Benz, and they had
a
lot of games
field.
In a short amount of time. Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see how Atlanta responds to a playoff situation, how these young players who aren't used to MLS playoff structure, they're used to playing overseas with a sort of single table format, how they respond. I'd be happy for the people of Columbus with everything they've gone through over the past week if they were able to get a win and move on. We'll see. It'll be a fun match. Chicago, I'm sure people up where you are in Chicago will be going crazy. Nemanja Nikolic won the Golden Boot his first year in MLS. He had like 24 goals this year.
Let me circle back here for a minute. If I'm an Atlanta supporter, I'm jacked. You know what I mean? You made the playoffs. You're ready. If they win the whole thing, holy cow, that's fantastic. But as a supporter of any other team, you want to see this expansion team suck an egg. Like, you want them to be done and out.
Yep. No, exactly. I mean, how... I'll have to eat all of my words from all season long about Atlanta if they do go on a run and win this. And I will. I'll be the first to admit it, because if they somehow do come in their first year win MLS Cup, and the Splinter won't be happy, if they do it, then they will have figured out something, or it'll be a combination of they figured out something and got lucky, I guess, at the right time. But you know, expansion teams shouldn't come into a league that's had some teams in there for 20 plus years and in their first season be able to figure out how to beat everybody.
That's not and cool. KC played in a football stadium. We didn't have that many people. What's going on?
Yeah, what's up? I mean, Arrowhead and Mercedes-Benz, they're basically the same stadium.
Absolutely.
So, what's the deal? But I don't know. I'd like to see Atlanta lose. You know, I'll just say it. Hope they lose.
No, I'm on that train. I'm on that hype train for Atlanta to lose. I'm a hater right now. And I love watching them. I swear to God, that's my guilty pleasure. I'm just like, hey, these guys are fun to watch. But I don't want to see them win the whole thing. Like, just stop it.
I will say, you know, if they do win, I hope Chicago wins, because a home-and-home, two-leg series, whatever you want to call it, between Toronto and Atlanta, that could be fun. That would be some fun soccer to watch. I think Toronto would win hands down, because I think Toronto's going all the way this year, to be honest. I don't see anyone getting in their way. I think after their heartbreak last year, they're not letting that happen again. But watching Toronto and Atlanta, which are two of the more dynamic, exciting teams, go head-to-head in a two-leg playoff scenario, that would be awesome, I think. And it'd be great for MLS.
Absolutely. And I'm going to be guilty right now, and being a resident of Chicago, I would like to see Chicago and SKC and MLS Cup in Chicago. Heyo!
I wonder why.
That'd be sick, dude.
Yeah. So we'll see two games. We don't know which games yet, because MLS still hasn't announced it. We thought they'd announced it an hour ago, but they haven't. You'll know by the time you listen to this podcast. Chances are it'll probably be Vancouver and San Jose on Wednesday night. We don't know which of the two Eastern Conference games it'll be paired with that. But then most likely Houston will host Sporting KC on Thursday with the other Eastern Conference game to be played on Thursday night as well. And then the winners of those knockout round games will go on to face Portland, Seattle, Toronto, and New York City beginning Sunday, October 29th. Then we'll be in for a fun month and a week or so of MLS Cup playoffs. So
we're in the thick of it now, man. It's playoff time. And speaking of playoff time, big congrats to the Swope Park Rangers,
yes, sir.
Sporting's USL team. They went to, they started last night, and it was 0-0 at halftime, and buckets of rain just started pouring. And I got to tell you, I was watching this game, and then I was trying to wait for it to come back on as they were all squeegeeing the field off, and then I woke up at 3 in the morning because I fell asleep and realized I hadn't taken my dog out. But I came back in and realized they'd rescheduled the game, and they picked up at the second half today, 0-0 all the way till extra time. And Didier Drogba adds a goal, and then Amir Didic heads in a goal, and it's tied 1-1 and goes to PKs, and Swope comes out on top. It was awesome, man. They played at the same time as Sporting, and I had Sporting on the TV, but had Swope on my iPad here, and it was pretty cool. So
yeah, and how about the very first penalty kick? Swope Park's young goalie, Darren McLeod, I'm not sure how you say his last
McLeod,
name.
McLeod, yeah.
It said both ways. Denies.
McLeod.
McLeod. yeah. Again, we're just from Kansas City and are terrible at accents. yeah, to save the opening penalty kick really set the tone for Swope Park. And
it was amazing.
And they looked in control. for the rest of it. And then I'm not even going to try this dude's first name, but Mala is his last name from Phoenix. His first name, Doueguui, however you say that. Skied it for Phoenix, and it was at, yeah, it was after that when Lebo Moloto was able to put it away and win it for Swope Park. So congrats to them, one step closer to USL Cup. So,
and I'm not trying to make this like a Swope podcast or anything, but it's playoff soccer and it's affiliated with Sporting, and it's really cool. And I know their supporters are all hyped up, and I think we should too. And you know, see them on to the next stage.
Absolutely, it's all part of the Sporting club as it is. So congrats to Swope Park, and we'll keep you all updated as the pod continues in the coming weeks as to what Swope's doing. So do you have, before we go, a prediction? I know you said you're a little worried, but do you have a prediction for what might happen when Sporting KC travels to Houston in the midweek?
I do. I think it's going to go 0-0, and I think we're going to PKs, and I'm terrified.
Oh, man.
Hey, I'm giving predictions. I think I live my life in pessimism, so I can't ever be let down. I'm going to say that Sporting loses this game, and we're in bad form right now, man. And I know you want to say, come on, you got to support the team. I do support the team. But I don't see us getting past this game again. Like, Houston has our number right now, and it's not good.
Yeah. No, I totally get it. As I mentioned before, Sporting KC has gotten 2 points out of their last five games. Houston.
I'm binge eating Starburst because I'm so angry.
Yeah, Houston, on the other hand, they've gotten 11 points from their last five games. They haven't lost a league game since September 16th. They beat the Chicago Fire, who are a very good team today, 3-0 at BBVA. I hate to say it, nothing that Sporting KC has shown me over the past month and a half has indicated that they can go down there and beat Houston at BBVA. I wouldn't be surprised if we see, you know, a 2-1 or heck, if things get out of hand and Sporting KC tries to press to catch up and they give up a counterattack, even a 3-1 scoreline. I hope I'm wrong. I hope you're wrong, and I hope that we're back here recording Thursday night or Friday or whenever we record the next one, and we're jacked because we're going up to Portland or Seattle and we're feeling good. But
We'd be going home.
Oh, you're right. You're right. We'd be coming to Children's Mercy Park first, and then we'd be going to Seattle or Portland. So I know I personally would like to get another game in at Children's Mercy Park. I didn't feel like the last one was a sufficient way to end at home on the year. So, so yeah, hopefully they can pull it off. We'll be back, win or lose, to have more podcasts with you after that. So stick with us.
I hope they prove us wrong. I really do. But the bottom line is form. Form is everything. And you look at the past few games, and it's like that does not bode well for this midweek game here.
No, not at all. So we'll be around on Twitter. We'll be around on Facebook. Tweet us at No Other Pod. You can tweet me at JCMac03. Tweet Dan at Dan Kooser, KOOSER. Like us on Facebook, No Other Pod. Send us an email, nootherpod@gmail.com. Still looking to get what your favorite experiences were at Children's Mercy Park. We didn't get any this week, so we'd like to hear from you. And Dan, tell them about the reviews that we need.
Yeah, absolutely. iTunes rating and reviews, you know, Google Play ratings and reviews. I mean, 5 stars are always welcome. Can't tell you to give us 5 stars, but we'd really appreciate it if you do. And just give us some feedback, you know, let us know what you'd like to hear more of. Should I go let my dog go play in the street while we do this podcast so it's not distracting? Whatever you think, should we do more accents? Maybe we need to do more accents. That could get offensive real fast, but I'm for it. I'll do whatever you want. For a 5-star rating, I'm a 5-star man. But you know, let us know. Reviews and ratings are everything. So I know we got a few of them, and it's been a couple weeks since we got a couple. So keep those coming.
Yes, sir. All right. Well, for Dan, I'm Jimmy. We'll let the musical stylings of Rad Key take you out once again, and we will talk to you after Houston hosts Sporting KC in the midweek. We'll see ya.
Go Sporting.